Be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN TV. Your pick just might be Chicago's Best.
Just might be.
Just might.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlanc is right here on 720 WGN. Brad Garrett is with us, ABC News consultant, security guru. And Brad, some interesting stuff happened today. The FBI released, initially today, released a redacted transcript of communications between law enforcement and the killer in Orlando at the Pulse nightclub. And the redacted piece, the stuff that was redacted, were lines like he then identified himself as when it asked his name, he would only say that, you know, he was a martyr and, you know, in the service of, and then someone's name, and they would redact the name or they would redact the organization that he said he was working for. But all of that has been out, whether it's al-Baghdadi, the guy who runs ISIS, who apparently was mentioned in this, or whether it was ISIS itself, whatever it happens to be, it doesn't seem to me that there was any reason to release a redacted document like that. They said they were trying to spare the victims any more pain, but it seemed like it was a political move. And now, just within the last 2 hours, the FBI has re-released the transcript, not redacted. What was that all about, do you think?
Well, my guess is initially they didn't do it, because there is some belief that when the system states individuals' names or organizations, then it gives credibility to the individuals or groups. You know, there's a lot of debate about when we have school shootings, about doing the same thing, of mentioning the shooter, where he's from, et cetera, to allow, I suppose, less so the identification with a particular individual or group.
And I think that makes sense. I know they have the same thing in local law enforcement, too, like here in Chicago with gangs.
You don't identify them.
Right. Gang types, gang members by name, things like that, right? Mm-hmm. They just say that they have known gang types because they don't want to encourage retribution. But in this case, we know what's going on here. This isn't like, we never heard of ISIS. Who are they? You know,
why it seems strange because of that. Like you said, it was already out. And it just felt kind of odd. But I guess the audio recordings, I understand even more why they would make a transcript available, not the audio, because you wouldn't want the audio to be used as a publicity platform for some of these websites, I would assume. Is that what?
Well, that is exactly right. I mean, if in fact somebody from the FBI or law enforcement states, you know, al-Baghdadi's name, ISIS, et cetera, you'll then see that in their propaganda videos, you know, a week or two from now. So I get all that, and it's certainly less sting, I suppose, from a publicity standpoint to have the, you know, have it in writing versus the actual audio itself.
Right. I just it plays into this narrative, though, in the political season that in America we're not taking seriously enough the nature of this threat. That this threat doesn't live in a vacuum. It isn't just one-offs by crazy people. Although it is, in this case, I think that's closer to the truth than anything else. But there is a political overlay to it, and there is, and we do need to be concerned that people will, as lone wolves. When Brad, you and I have talked about this for years, right? The biggest fear is lone wolf attacks. Crazies who are operating independently without command and control of some other organization that can be tracked digitally. That's right. Where we're going to have a problem.
Well, that is true. And I think as we move forward, the likelihood of another version of this guy is still our greatest threat. And now, whether that translates through the eyes of Islamic extremists or through just a troubled school shooter, you know, sort of the mindset of these people, there are some parallels behaviorally that's going on in the person. So, yeah, I mean, it really all boils down to how good is your intelligence, because that's how we've stopped them in the past. Now, obviously, we didn't know what he was about to do. We didn't know what the couple in San Bernardino were about to do, even though they were partly on someone's radar screen.
It also, one of the more meaningful things that came out of this FBI release today, Brad, was the conversations between Mateen and the negotiator. It was shining the best light I've seen so far on why they waited so long to get into that club. They talked about how he said in this discussion with a negotiator. He had a car outside the club that contained a bomb. He said he was going to strap some of the victims inside with some type of explosive devices. He had a lot of claims that showed to me why they use such incredible caution.
Right. And they fortunately had the time to do that, because once they were convinced he wasn't killing anybody else or harming anybody else, then it really gives you time to collect intelligence and let him talk, maybe help figure out what he does have. Does he have explosives? Does he not? Et cetera, before you make a decision to actually go in. Because, the bottom line with people like him, he's not going to put his hands up and surrender. This is all about, are you either going to surprise him or you're going to kill him? It's one of the two.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the body armor thing is interesting, though, right? Because he did want to do that. But often the theory now is that they just want to live long enough to do maximum damage. They know eventually they're going to get caught or die.
Right. Exactly. The whole idea of mass shootings is to make yourself popular. And it's like you've empowered yourself against a world that's harmed you in some form or fashion. And he definitely fits that profile.
For sure. Brad, thanks very much. Appreciate your time,
sir.
Thanks,
Brad.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Brad Garrett, ABC News.